Mommy, I'm bored. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America?
Dad, I'm tired of the swing. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America?
There's no room to build a sandcastle. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America? Make your day prehistoric at the Bronx Zoo Dinosaur Safari.
This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network. Greetings.
Greetings. Welcome to Warn Radio Sound the Shofar with the Watchman and me. I'm Tower. We have a great lineup for you, so we're glad you joined us tonight. Today is February 15th, 2019. Here are some important updates from the WIBR Warn Radio. The readings in the Word this week are found in Exodus chapter 27, starting at verse 20 through chapter 30, verse 10, Ezekiel 43, verses 10 through 27, and the New Testament portion is Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through chapter 6, verse 56, and also Hebrews chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to read the latest articles by The Watchman. This week, the articles are Mother of Harlots and the Beast. The Mother of Harlots, who is seen riding the beast, is not alone. There are many others who have been enjoying this ride as they drank from the cup which the harlot carried and poured out. But in the midst of this is rising the truth which sets the human condition free from sin and unites it with the true and living God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Also, read the testimony and faith of Jesus Christ. The faith and testimony of Jesus Christ at the time of the end. Many will not come to Christ to find life eternal. However, he that hears this word and believes passes from death to life. Don't wait to make your decision until the resurrection of life or the resurrection of damnation. This will occur, so don't wait too long procrastinating. There are many avenues to listen to Warn Radio worldwide. You can listen from your PC, Android, Apple device. You can go to warn-usa.com for the Spreaker embed and links to all the places to listen from, like iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Blueberry, and many others. You can also listen to all the shows on the front of warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. You can listen or watch all the shows from warn-usa.com blog and on the front page. Also from Spreaker or the Spreaker app. You can follow Warn Radio on Instagram, Facebook, also on Twitter, LinkedIn, Tumblr, and others. Tonight's show, we feature our Sound the Shofar in-depth study of the Scriptures with the Watchman, Dana G. Smith. For over 21 years, the Watchman has been teaching, preaching, and warning the generations. Our study tonight continues with Paul's Epistle of 1 Thessalonians, Children of the Light, Part 4. The Lord comes as a thief in the night, so the Apostle Paul begins. There will be peace and safety heralded by those in power, but suddenly destruction will come instead. We are to watch as children of the light and followers of Jesus Christ. And now I welcome in the watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. What's going on?
Well, you know, I was looking in my weather calendar. It's already getting into March.
Hmm.
So, you know.
Be here quicker than you know it.
I know. There's been some debate whether or not the groundhog was politically possessed when he came out and said that he didn't see his shadow. Now, we believe that he is incognito, a Democrat, and cannot tell the truth. But, you know, we have no proof. We have an investigation. Mueller's buddy, who is Elmer, you know.
Elmer
Fudd? He's a drunk down at the... Well, at any rate, he's going to carry out the investigation for the Democrats to make sure it goes nowhere. So until then, we got to take the groundhog, you know, for his word that indeed, you know, spring is going to begin. However, there are, again, a lot of evidence is pointing that there's a guilty party somewhere. And, of course, the groundhog is not saying anything.
Yeah, that figures, huh?
Yeah. Schumer came out today. And he was mad. And he said, that's why, and I'm paraphrasing, because even though I know what he said, it doesn't mean that I can say every exact word.
Right.
Okay, you get the hint? Okay. Well, at any rate, he came out and said that this is exactly why the public does not like what's going on in Washington. Speaking, of course, of President Donald Trump doing stuff on his own, and that Pelosi and Schumer got out, and they were angry, saying that this is terrible. You know, this is borderline lawlessness for Trump to do things like this. However, they forgot is that there's a whole bunch of people out there that are glad that he called this, and it's about time. And he gave them every chance. And if they hadn't given all the money away overseas and around the world and been so stubborn, he wouldn't have had to do it. But Pelosi wasn't going to give him any money. But, you know, as Pat Buchanan said, well, among others, said that Pelosi wasn't going to give him a dime, and she wound up giving him 1 point some odd billion. It's still not enough to take care of the job. So, you know, as the stomach turns, you know, as the worm turns,
yeah,
you know, it just the same old, same old. The liars are in Washington.
Yeah.
Now I might add, you know, our representative has been sending us out reports, and the last one she sent was pretty good. I forward it to you. And she came out and was talking about Pelosi and the socialists. And she, of course, she is in the House. And she asked Ocasio-Cortez when she said that in the Green Deal they're going to stop all air traffic. She says, well, how did you get here? Of course, you know. They're going to get rid of all the oil and everything like that. But, of course, when you ask her how she got to Washington, she probably flew. I didn't see the answer to that. But we all know that, you know, unless you have a lot of horses and you know how to ride them and can get them up on the, you know, the freeway, and then you're going to have horse filling stations, you know.
Yeah.
You're going to have to do something, you know. And if it snowed and became, you know, ice-bound like it is in the Arctic, you could have sled dogs. But beans is that hasn't happened, and that everything you have, almost everything you wear, everything you eat, everything you live in, everything everywhere is depending on some form of product coming out of petroleum and oil that comes out of the earth. And so, you know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
On this political day. And it reminds me today, one of our scriptures, and I put this out today, was out of Habakkuk. You know, we do a study on bottom line faith. And that was one of the scriptures was our thing for today. And I put that out on our various feeds today. But the one thing at the bottom of that, after he lists everything that's going wrong, and there's, you know, no food, no nothing, he said, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation.
Yeah, that's right, amen. I love that scripture.
And so, it's like this. When he sees everything going on, and everything is so terrible, he's going to focus on joying and rejoicing in the Lord.
Yeah, that's good.
And, you know, as Christians in America today, we need to look at Washington and we need to look at the world and everything else and its problems. And then we need to go about our day joying in the God of our salvation and rejoicing in Him, keeping our eyes on Him.
That's right.
And, you know, today as I read it, there was a light turned on from Habakkuk. You know, that's really what it was all about for him. That he was not going to look at that. It's not the end of the world. His source is the Lord, and he was going to. And you know, the hardest thing to do is to force yourself as a human not to be concerned about certain things.
That's right.
And so he said in that statement that I'm going to subdue this flesh. I'm going to stop worrying. I'm going to not go there, but I'm going to joy and I'm going to rejoice. He's not just doing one thing, he's doing both, joying and rejoicing. And so I think that's a big statement for Christians today, especially who get so caught up and so worried and so concerned about what's going on in the world. You need to focus and you need to. Now, you can hear our teaching on that over on our websites. We should have it there somewhere. You'll have to search for it. We have a lot of stuff on there. But you can go to Habakkuk, the third chapter, and read the last 3-4 verses of that chapter, and you'll find it. So, I think that's...
I love Habakkuk.
I do, too, because, you know, he got bothered by the way things were going on in Jerusalem, in Israel.
Yeah.
And he said, God, how long are you going to be before you do something? And then a few verses later, the Lord comes, and I'm going to paraphrase for you. He says, well, Habakkuk, I'm going to do something for you, buddy. Yes, and this is what I've decided I'm going to do. Now, remember, I'm righteous, and this is going to happen in righteousness. But I'm going to send a nation that is worse than you've ever been. They are killers and murderers, and they're going to invade your country, and they're going to kill your children, you know, your young men, your warriors. They're going to rape your women. They're going to take you captive. They're going to destroy everything. That's what I'm going to do. And so Habakkuk asks him a question. He says, why would you take someone worse than us to judge us? And there's no answer, so Habakkuk sets himself up, and he says, I will wait and see what the Lord will say when I'm reproved. He expected to be reproved, but he wasn't. The Lord didn't reprove him. The Lord led him through and taught him what he was doing. And one thing he told Habakkuk, and the very thing that Paul the Apostle also talked about, you know, that the wicked, there is no righteousness in them. But the righteous, you know, they have to live by faith.
That's right.
And that's where we're at. We must live by faith. The wicked are wicked. And there is going to be judgment. And you and I have to walk by faith. And when we see these things coming, we look up, for our redemption draws nigh. And we rejoice just like Habakkuk did. And we joy in the God of our salvation.
Amen.
And so that's a mini capsule from Habakkuk. And I think that was very, very good when that came up today. I love that verse. I love that, it's so pertinent, you know. I feel for these pastors that don't ever get into the New Old Testament. That's ridiculous.
Oh, I know.
And I've talked about that before. It's heresy. Just pure out heresy.
They're missing so much.
Well, they are. Well, I teach in the Old Testament a lot. We've been doing a lot of the New Testament, but in Revelation, I'm bringing up Old Testament scriptures right alongside of it. So,
yeah.
Well, at any rate, I'm glad it's the weekend.
As always.
Well, I am.
Because
during the week, I'm busy. We are a busy people.
I think people are too busy today.
Well, I do too. You know, it just seems so busy, so quick. You know, and the information that flows at you comes from everywhere.
It was sometimes better without all this information.
Of course, I've limited a lot of it, you know. Over the years, I have organizations and people where I get the information from. I have trustworthy people, and, we're still apprised on some of the headlines, but I don't dwell on the headlines. You know, I could care less what Pelosi and Schumer are going to do. I could care less what happens in Washington at times, you know, and whatever happens. And I mean this, you know, I absolutely 100% believe that God is in charge.
That's right.
Because he is the God of the nations.
And he sure isn't caught by surprise with what's going on.
So I trust in him. I look to him. And if he chooses that this nation will be destroyed, that's the way it's going to be. And I'll live with that. But I will look to the Lord. If he chooses to keep Trump in, if he chooses, whatever he does, I'm okay with that. And I think that's the sovereignty factor that I believe in, that, I don't worry about it. I don't worry about, and we're touching on, Revelation a lot, talking about that. And, we were talking about the two beasts last night. I don't lose any sleep over this stuff. I teach it, and it's going to be terrible when these people take over and these beings, this beast. But, who I am does not rise and fall in the devil.
That's
because,
right.
Because the reason it doesn't rise and fall with the devil, because Christ rose and stay risen. He's at the right hand of the Father, and he's coming again, and I'm his child. And, he's coming back for me and for all those who believe. That's who I believe in. Live or die, we're the Lord's. Whenever he calls us home, whenever whatever happens, we're here. And as long as we're here, we're going to do things for the Lord, and that's it. I'm not going to go there. And there's certain things I don't like what's happening in the world, but that's the way it is. I look to the Lord. And
that's right.
He, whatever doesn't get the justice you think it deserves out of God in this life, make sure when everybody stands before him at the great white throne judgment, he will make it right. I am the Lord. Vengeance is mine, he says.
Amen.
And so there's a lot of things that Tower and I report on that we absolutely, it's gut-wrenching, isn't it?
It is. That's for sure.
And so we look to the Lord to take care of the injustice. And if it doesn't get done in this lifetime, he will take care of it in the next, and we will be standing there, and we will see it done. Now, see, that's what a lot of people don't understand. At the great white throne judgment, There will be the righteous and the wicked gathered, and they will see the justice of God upon the wicked. Period.
That's right.
And every sin will be open. There, nothing will be hid there. Everybody will know what you did. Everybody.
Yep.
Nothing will be hid. So, you may keep it from Mueller, but you're not going to keep it from the Lord.
Oh, that's a scary thought, too. People should be quaking in their boots.
Well, they should, but, you know, the wicked is the wicked. They've always been that way. You know? Who is God that I should obey him? Oh, remember Pharaoh? Who is the Lord that I should obey him? He told Moses. Who is the Lord? Who is this God you're talking about? Yeah, well, he found out.
Yes, he did.
And he lost an army. Egypt was totally destroyed, practically, economically, and every other way. And he came out of it looking like a fool, and he lost his child.
He lost his life eventually. I mean, going after him. Yeah, it was horrible.
So
should have listened and learned early.
Yeah, unfortunately, he wasn't going to do it, and everything went for the glory of God. So, well, at any rate, I'm going to get ready to do this.
Okay, well, I'll see you on the other side then.
Okay. Well, we're in 1 Thessalonians, Children of the Light. This is part 4. But we're in Thessalonians 5. And I want to go back to 4 because we talked about this. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Wherefore? What's it there for? Because he's talking about what the comfort is. That particular thing, because of this, because the Lord is going to descend, because the Lord is coming back. Comfort one another. And then we get to verse 5. It says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Now see, when these letters were first put together, they were letters. And, of course, when they made it into the Bible, they broke everything up into verses and chapters and stuff. And this particular thing, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. And the previous verse says, wherefore, brethren, comfort one another with these words. They're all talking about the same thing. It's in the same thing. The times and the seasons, the coming of the Lord, comforting one another. This was a group of Thessalonians that had received the word. Paul and his troop had brought the gospel to them after being treated pretty badly before. And so they came on down, gave them the gospel, left and moved on, and they wanted to know how they were doing. Timothy was sent and found out how they were doing, which was good, and that excited Paul and all of those that were there. So this was a group of believers that were on fire, that knew what it was like to suffer, to endure persecution, and to have faith in the middle of persecution, which is happening in many parts of the world. And so in chapter 5, and he's closing out this first letter to the Thessalonians with this particular chapter, he says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you." He just told them. And then again, he says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Now, see, he was just talking to them, you know, about the Lord coming again, and that, you know, how that would work out. And he's going into a little more detail, but he says, "You have no need that I write unto you of the times and the seasons." They were perfectly aware of it. But, you know, this is the thing that when you get into the things of the Lord, and because we are flesh, when God reveals things to us and it's absolutely new to us and we come to it, we think, you know, our body is so moved by the Spirit of God and His Word that we think things are going to happen right away, or we get in a hurry to fulfill things that we think it is. And many times we make mistakes by getting in a hurry instead of waiting on the Lord. And I've even told native pastors this. This is in the timing of the Lord, not in yours. And so the thing of it is that here he talks a little bit more about the times and the seasons. He says, "You don't need that I write unto you." He says, "For yourselves perfectly know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." He's just repeating it. They already know this. He hasn't even talked about this, but he's taught them. And so when you talk about a group of people, and Paul had talked about this before, there was people that were babes. They would only get on pablum, as I call it, or milk. And they could never get on the full-aged meat that required teeth and chewing and digestion. And it took a long time, you know. And when you get into the meat of the Word, you have to chew on it, so to speak. You got to meditate. You got to study it. You got to consider it. You got to apply it. You got to look at the context of it and interpret correctly the Word of God. And so, in as much as possible, because as humans, we can look at it, and we have a lot of teachings out there, and we have a lot of people interpreting, and we have had for a long time, but to be frank with you, there's quite a bit of it that is a misnomer in itself. And some of the things we take out of context, or we push them above other things. And you should be in the whole counsel of God. And that's including that which is in the Torah, the Tanakh, and in the Brit Kaddish, or the New Testament. So Paul is just mentioning again what they already know. And so if we're applying it, we look at it today, you know, the Lord is coming again. We don't know when. There's people that believe in a pre-trib rapture, a mid-trib rapture, and a post-trib. Now, I don't even go by those. I don't care about those. It don't make any difference to me. I get into the Word of God, and I read, and that's what it says. He's coming again. That's good enough for me. And if I go out and start teaching a pre-trib and tell you that it's going to happen, you know, before anything else happens, that's not true. Okay? And I don't care what doctor of theology tells you that there's a pre-trib rapture. There is no pre-trib rapture. And we are the ones that define this stuff. Now, see, Paul is not talking about a pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. That comes from man-made doctrine. But see, the point is, he's coming again. Now, see, for Paul and the Thessalonians, he never came. See, and that's what I'm getting at. Over the centuries, we have believed in a lot of things because we are human. And the Spirit of God moves in us. And I think God does this for a reason, to keep us on fire, expecting Him to come at all times, lest we fall away and we become imperfect through our misgivings, and we sin due to becoming kind of a lazy, sleepy, backslidden group of believers. So we are charged up through the Spirit, and we wind up with expectancy, and we look forward to His coming. And, you know, like we've said before, Tower and I, you know, we used to expect the coming of the Lord. We still think he's coming, but when we were younger and out and doing this, and every day you think he's going to come because you see the signs all around you. Well, they're worse today than they were back then. Back then we thought he was coming because how bad things were. And then we get in today's society and it is just light years worse. And so you say to yourselves, just how bad can it get before the Lord comes? And that's exactly what Habakkuk was talking about. You know, how long are you going to wait? As far as Habakkuk was concerned, it was bad enough already. Well, you know, Habakkuk didn't have to wait long because it was a coming. Nevertheless, he says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, you see, this is exactly what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. Scripture says, I think it's Peter that was talking about it, he said, they did not know until the flood carried them away. What didn't they know? They didn't know that it was judgment. They didn't know that it was going to happen. You know, and when Noah was building that ark and continued, he's called a preacher of righteousness. And he was preaching, he was teaching, he was testifying to the society by building this ark and telling them why he was building it. They didn't listen. They had never seen a flood like that. They had never seen anything like that. They had never seen anything like the ark and how big it was. And they didn't see anything like all the animals lining up to go inside. And then they were definitely surprised when the door of the ark was closed by God himself. And then it started raining and never stopped. And you can better believe you that Noah and his family on the inside of the ark, there's no way they could open the door to let anybody in, because God had shut the door. And see, this is a warning that when the ages are over and when you stand before the great white throne judgment and the Lord God Almighty, and it's going to be Yahshua, Jesus, who is going to be judging because the Father put it all into his hands, it's going to be a mess. Because you're not going to be able to repent at that time. You've waited too long. There comes a time when God's offer, and that's what it was. Noah getting inside the ark represents grace. That's a type of grace. There is an ark today, and that's through Jesus Christ, Yahshua, who died on the cross for your sin. And you have to enter in now. You have to receive him now. And, you know, and so Paul is saying, you know, when they shall say peace and safety. Well, we want peace and safety in the world. Look at how messy it is today. Look at how many threats of war and rumors of war and nuclear war and everything else. But he says, you know, when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction will come. And of course, this is the way it works in the judgment of God. In studying all these years and looking at the prophets, looking at judgment, the people that know about the judgment, like when the children of Israel were sent into captivity, Judah, into Babylon, for 70 years. Well, God judged Babylon, and Babylon fell. And the Lord told the Jews to flee Babylon that were there and to let Jerusalem come to mind. In Mystery Babylon, in Revelation, he says, come out of her, my people. Get out of her. Leave. He told Noah, build an ark and the animals will come and then you'll get inside. He told Lot to leave and get out of this, out of Sodom. You know, he sent Jonah to warn Nineveh, who repented. And Nineveh repented, and the judgment was stayed. And then for 70 years they were all right. But at the end of that time, they were destroyed because they had forgot. See, so you're in a nation and you're in a world today that, you know, you are going to be able to appropriate some peace and safety before this all comes down, because that's exactly what this beast will do. I mean, he will not only make war upon the believers, but he will make war upon Israel, and he will try to convince the world that there's peace and safety because he's God now. Well, then sudden destruction will come upon them. And this is just what Paul is saying. When you see in the Rome, where they say peace and safety, sudden destruction is coming. And he's speaking of the end, the day of the Lord. And he says, but you, brethren, are in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Now see, this is the secret for the believers. You are not like the world. So stop trying to pretend you are like the world. Yes, we eat. We have to be, we have clothing. We buy, we sell, we have cars or trucks. We have a place to live. We have a place to work. In America, that's what it's all about. In other parts of the world, as a Christian, you don't have all that, but you're still in there and you can be persecuted. If you're a Christian in North Korea, it's barbaric what will happen to you. Absolutely unbelievable and unconscionable what goes on there for Christians. But God will make that right. See, and so the thing of it is that you are different. And that's the point here. Is that, yes, peace and safety. When they begin to say that, sudden destruction is going to come upon them. Because that's the one thing that people want. But you're not going to have peace and safety. Like, Ocasio Cortez and some of the other Democrats pushing their Green Deal. And, because the problem in society for a lot of these liberals is the white man. The fact that we were, the white man was in the ones who came to America and took it over. But even before the white man come, the Indians were fighting among themselves. They were taking each other's horses. They were raping and pillaging other villages. And that's what they did. Yeah, they lived off the land. They did a lot of things, but they were also warriors. They fought, they killed, they raped, they murdered. They did a lot of things. It's a human condition. It's called sin. A lot of these liberals today think that, if we limit the Constitution of the Republic of America, we make it socialist, we give everybody free health care, we get rid of coal because that's the enemy, and oil, and we have this Green Deal, that will save the world. No, it's not going to save the world because that isn't the problem. The problem with the world, and Isaiah talks about it in Isaiah 24, the curse has devoured the earth. The curse came at the time when Adam and Eve fell, and it will eventually completely and totally encompass the earth. It will eat up the earth. It will destroy the earth. And so the Lord has always known that. That's not even new. That's just, it's going to happen one day. The end will come. He's going to, that's one of the reasons there's a redemptive program. And so, in the world today, we got a lot of people, peace and safety, they got a lot of solutions, but nothing is going to work. It'll never be permanent, it will never work because of sin. And he says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Yeah. We're not in darkness. We know the different. He said, you are all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Years ago, I talked about the light. Because this is what the verbiage that the apostles used. Children of the light, children of the day. And I got contacted by this Christian who was all upset because I kept talking about the light. No, I'm not talking about aliens. I'm talking about light. We walk in the light, 1 John 1. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That's what John said in his first epistle, 1 John 1. That's who we are. You've got light and you've got darkness. You've got the children of God and you got everybody else. Period. Now, you see, the Muslims who were making war and trying to bring on, Islam as a worldwide thing. I talked about that in conjunction with the beast and everything, and you might want to catch that teaching. You'll find that on our site, and that's the latest one. But at any rate, they're going to be a prominent player. They already are in the end of days. See, because they believe they have to take it over by force, and if they won't take it over by force, they have the right to rape the women to get them to feel humble so they'll repent. They have a right to kill the men, to attack them. There's a lot of things they think they have the right to. When they went through the Middle East, ISIS did. They killed and raped and pillaged. They cut children in half. They beheaded them. They did everything in order to be absolutely just as horrible and nasty. They were drinking blood. They were eating Christian hearts because they'd been told by an imam that if they did that, they'd be instantly in paradise. There was one guy who was a Muslim who had this steel thing in front of his private parts because he didn't want to get shot there and have him ruined in the next life, because if he was going to die and go to paradise and have 70 virgins, he planned on using his parts in order to enjoy the rest of his life. Now see, all of this is the flesh. Every bit of this is flesh. Every bit of this is a lie. Every bit of this will lead you into hell. Now see, the world today doesn't want to hear it. Islam doesn't want to hear it. Except the Muslims who really want to know who the Lord God here is. And they are coming to the Lord like never before. And there are people in this world that want to know the truth. And those are the ones God is calling out. Because he sees their heart. But you see, there is a darkness in this world. And that darkness don't want Christians and pastors and leaders and the Christian congregation to testify, to talk, to suggest that there's a salvation, to suggest that there's only one way truth and life, you know, that there's only one way to go to the Father, and that's through Jesus, Yeshua. See, they don't want that. They don't like that. It's not politically correct. We are in a politically correct society today. And as Christians, you know, in America, you have to live alongside other faiths. And in the political realm and even in the Christian realm, you'll find other pastors standing up and say, that's right, there are more than one ways to heaven. And those pastors will spend the rest of their eternity in hell if they don't repent. I'm telling you that with God, this is serious business, and there is one way, and that's through the Lord, and that's how you get to the Father. Now, you see, Paul says in the next verse, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. There's a lot of people that are drunk today, and I'm not talking about drunk on alcohol. They're drunk in their sins. They're drunk in their lusts. They're drunk in their hopes and their desires, and they're drunk in their pleasures. They're drunk in their successes. They're drunk, and as long as they can stay away from God, and as long as they can be happy, and as long as they can be rich, as long as they can be satisfied, and all this other stuff, yada, yada, yada. Well, they just continue. And this is the drunkenness. This is the sleep. This is the night. Leave us alone. We're going to sleep. That's why Psalm 2 said, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Kiss the Son. Receive him. Come unto him. Repent. But see, you're coming down to a time that we know that they will reject the love of the truth, which is the gospel. And God is going to send them that delusion. That delusion is the beast, the two beasts that are coming. Verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of love, and for helmet a hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you see where we've come? We came from the thing that, you know, the Lord is going to come. And he's going to come and get us, the dead and those who are alive.
We've come from the fact that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. That when all of society begins to say, when peace and safety, when they say this, peace and safety, when you hear it in America, when you hear it from the world leaders that now we're going to have peace and safety, you better go duck and get in a cave because sudden destruction is coming, I can tell you. And this would be unlike anything you've ever heard before when they begin. And there will be someone there that will stand up, that will begin to push it. This is when this is a sign. When they begin to do that, then you better be careful. But see, this is where Paul is bringing him down to, because he wants him to focus. Yes, we know the day of the Lord's coming, but until then, you're not in darkness. That day when it comes, though a thief, is going to come. You're not in darkness. You're children of the light, and you're not to sleep. You're not to be like others. You're not to be in a stupor, but you're to watch and be sober, sober-minded. You have to be sober in your soul. You need to be able to look out, see what society is like, really examine and see what the churches are like. Look at what's happened lately with all of the people that got molested from the Southern Baptist Church. And do you think they're the only ones? Oh, heavens no. They're not. But think of all of the Catholics that got molested at the hands of their priests. And are they the only ones? No, no, no. Folks, what I'm trying to tell you, sin is sin. And it has creeped into the church for many, many centuries now. And we have gotten lackadaisical. We have gotten lazy. We have slept. We have become drunken. And especially in America, we were drunk upon our Constitution. We're drunk upon our flesh. Whoa, yeah, we can seek this. We can be happy. You know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that means all the lust that we have in America. And today we've got all kinds of them. There is no sin anymore in America. Now we want to kill babies outside of the womb, and on and on and on. When is it going to stop? It isn't going to stop. This is the night, and they're drunken, and in America, they're drunken, and you have people that are coming from other nations, and it's terrible in their nations, so they want to go to America because this is the place to be. No, it's not, because judgment is coming. I've been preaching that for 21 years, my friends, over 21 years. It's coming, and these people that are coming up here are going to die. I, along with the rest of the Americans, unless you wake up, unless you repent, unless you understand the pursuit of your lust, the pursuit of all these things, without God is darkness. Because our Constitution in this nation, without the Lord God, without His blessings, without that truth of Christ, this is a hedonistic, lustful, sleepy nation, drunken, fighting amongst themselves, taken from each other, violent, virulent, sinful. But you are of the day. You are supposed to be sober. You put on that breastplate of faith. Why? So you'll say, I'm not going to fear. When everything begins to fall down, I'm going to say, I will trust in the Lord. He will make a way for me and my family. And when you walk also in love, as Paul says, you're to love your enemies. You're to help them. Now, if they don't want it, that's their problem. But you're to love and love one another, especially this is what Christ said, by this shall they know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. We can't even do that, not like we should. We haven't for a long time. And you put on that helmet, the hope of salvation, because without hope you have nothing. You don't have faith for no reason at all. You have faith because you're looking for that redemption. You're looking for the one who is the master of our salvation. And for like Paul said, for God has not appointed us, appointed you, appointed me, or anyone else to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. But you're going to be in a country and a world that will reject that. They won't have nothing to do with that, and they're going to go their own way stubbornly, and they're going to follow darkness, and they're going to be appointed unto perdition. And this is why Paul is telling them, because it's in the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire had the same thing. You can type America almost identical to some of the things that they had. They had a Senate, we had a Senate. They had a government, we have a government. They had a mighty warrior army, so do we. They ruled a lot of the world. They had roads, they had a common language, they had a lot of stuff. And within their bounds, You could seek just about any kind of religion, any kind of thing, just as long as you didn't interrupt the Roman Empire. There are so many types between America and the Roman Empire, it's not funny. It's time to wake up, and this is what Paul is saying to the Thessalonians. Understand, this is what I'm talking about. Understand, he's saying, you're not appointed to wrath. You're appointed to obtain salvation. You've got to be sober. You have to have faith, because if you're not going to have faith and love and really understand who you are, you're not going to make it. You're going to be discouraged. You're going to fall away. And that's the same thing today. You can't be discouraged. You can't lose your hope. You can't forget about love one another. You can't forget about faith. You have got to understand God has appointed you to greater things than wrath. He's appointed you to obtain salvation because Christ died for you. And he says that in verse 10, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And Paul again says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Now you see, at the last verse of the last chapter, after the trump of God and the dead in Christ arise, we will be alive, remain, you know, those who are alive and remain in the earth will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. He says, comfort one another with these words. He's talking about that particular thing. Now, in this chapter 5, he says, comfort yourselves. See, the other is the comfort of deliverance, of being, it's finally over. This is the comfort of while you're living in society, while you're seeing all this going on. He says you need to comfort one another, edify one another. And he says, even as also you do. He admitted that they were doing it there. But see, he was encouraging them. But let us, he included himself and those with him, who are of the day, be sober. You have to know what you're facing. You have to know to put on that faith and that love and that hope of salvation. You have to understand that you're to be a watchman. I've been calling myself a watchman forever. Long before being a watchman was cool, I was a watchman. And be sober. You watch and be sober. That's sober. It's when you're alert. You look around. You realize what's going. What's a threat? What's going on? Where are you at? Are your kids saved? Are your friends saved? You know, you need to pray for them. There's things. Watch and be sober. Be prepared. Because you live in the night, and the night can be hell, and that means literal hell, because you have people that are living, that are wicked, they haven't repented yet, they don't know God yet, and they're under his wrath and under his curse. And if you read John 3:16, everybody, even the unbelievers, can quote John 3:16. But if you follow that verse, you're going to read about the condemnation of those who don't believe. There is a condemnation. And there's also a point where it even follows in that verse after John 3:16 that they're not going to come to the light because they love darkness more. That is where you're at in the world today. You're in a world that loves darkness. They love their sins. They love their lusts. They love their religions. Those guys that are going out and fighting in the name of their God and killing and raping and pillaging, the radical Islamists, they love that stuff. Because they can go out and they can rape and pillage and do things and have fun while they're doing it and do it in the name of God and have some pleasure in the same thing. And they're all doing it to get to heaven. Well, it ain't going to get them that. That ain't going to work. It's not going to happen. There's no way. And you could say there's no way in hell you're going to go to heaven. That's right. There's no way in hell you're going to go to heaven unless you truly repent and come unto Christ. There's no way in hell. Because in hell, it's too late. The way, you couldn't say that about heaven. There's no way in heaven? Sure there is. In heaven, and if you're there, you've already found the way. If you're on earth and a Christian, you've already found the way. So Paul says to him, comfort yourselves together. Get together. Comfort yourselves. And he's not talking about going buying a great big brick building and naming it the First Church of the Thessalonians. He says, just get together. Because the ecclesia, the called out ones, are the believers in Christ. They are the ecclesia. Even the Lord talked about that. You know, you are the temple of God. Because we receive the Lord, and He is in us, and the Father's in Him. These temples, these bodies, the spirits who we are, have been touched by God and made alive again. And the temple in which we live is our vessel, and this vessel is weak. This vessel has to be taken care of. This vessel begins to get old because it's a curse, this body. This is the body of death. It's appointed unto man, and after this the judgment. It's appointed unto man to die. And as Christians, though you believe, you're going to die. This body is eventually going to die. You're going to put it off. Your spirit will remain. God will have for you a new body. There's a difference. And so, it's okay to be in a church in America or around the world as long as you realize that's a tool. Don't count the building and the name of the building and the doctrine or the church denomination greater than Christ Himself. Oh, and I've been there. I've seen it. But see, I'm also a believer that God will help these people see the light. And more we're seeing a move of God, not only in America, but around the world. Because if you've got a heart for God, even though you've fallen off the path, God will not forsake you. He will work to bring you back. You can argue with God. And you can go on your own stubborn way. But God will still try to bring you back. I had an ongoing argument with the Lord for many years. I never did. You know, I was never an unbeliever. I've never been an unbeliever. But I had to work through it through the years. And I did. Because God dealt with me. But that was many, 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 many years ago, my friends. And none of you are perfect. We are working towards that. But we ain't there yet. And I have known prophets of the highest order who I didn't agree with. And I saw them die. They never lived forever. Some of the greatest men that we've ever had in the faith died and passed on. This thing is not over. We are in the end of days. And we're talking about a group of people back in the Roman Empire. And when we read this, we can relate that to where we are right now. See, and that's one thing, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. God didn't offer Christ up to condemn you. Now, His Spirit will convict you when you're wrong. He will comfort you when you're hurting. He will teach you when you're hungry. Spiritually, you want an answer. You want to seek Him. But the Spirit of God is not work with condemnation. That's the devil. He works with conviction. There's a difference. And he says of Christ Jesus in verse 9, after to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. I mean, that's our hope. You know, Tower and I, almost all of our older relatives are gone, except for those about our age. Our moms, our dads, our grandfathers, they're gone. That's what life is. It's filled with things that are tough. Now, there's a day when I'm going to see my dad, my mom, my father-in-law, and all the others. Because they knew the Lord. It's not going to be in this life. It's going to be in the next life. The next big event. And I'm waiting for the Lord. We've been waiting for the Lord, I don't know, more than 40 years. 30 years. I don't know. It's been a long time. We started out on this journey back in the mid-70s, Tower and I. And it has been a struggle at times. It has been tough, man. It is a race. It is a contest. Are you going to make it? Are you going to give up? Are you going to trust me? Are you going to go ahead? Are you going to go the right path? Are you going to stop being stubborn? Are you going to listen? And it goes on, and you go through life, and there comes a time when you finally say, yes, Lord, I will listen. I will put away my stubborn thoughts. I will put away my stubborn ways. I will listen. Because my way is death. Your way is life. And this life is filled with tears. It's filled with happiness. It's filled with joy. It's filled with satisfaction, but it's filled with hate. It's filled with death. It's filled with some of the worst things that happen to people that should never happen. And Tower and I have reported on some of those, and it's made us sick. I reported on ISIS going through there because I was able to get first-hand reports, and I was doing reports on our websites every day. And I saw the videos. And I get sick of blood. I'm tired of hearing about people getting killed. I hear about Christians getting killed and maimed and everything else all the time. We report on it for their sake. But there's also people in our country that are killed and murdered all the time. There's families when someone in the family goes berserk and they kill and murder their own members. The shedding of blood is horrible. And I get truly sick of it because I know I teach on blood guilt. So Paul is talking to the Thessalonians because Paul knows among all people what it's like to be in the Roman Empire. He's a Roman citizen. He knows what it's like to be on the good side of the Jews because he was a Jew. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Then the Lord appeared unto him, and he started following the very group that he was trying to destroy. And so all of his friends within the Jewish community, all of his friends in the temple, the synagogue, and all those in the empire that could be contacted, counted Paul as an apostate and an enemy of Judaism. And they did everything they could to hound him and to follow him and to get him removed or kill him. It was worse in Jerusalem, close to Jerusalem. Paul knew what life was like. He knew what this journey was like. And he also knew what it was like for new Gentile believers or even the Jews who wanted to become like he had and serve the Lord. He knew how bad it would be on both sides. If the Jews ain't mad to you, other pagan Gentiles are mad at you. You know, because when people get saved, they stop buying. Like, for instance, in Ephesians, I say this a lot. This is a good example. They wouldn't buy, the silver statues of Diana to worship anymore. That's how the silver makers and the people that made the idols, that's how they made their living. So when everybody started getting saved and turned around, read the letter to Ephesians. It's a beautiful letter. It has warnings in it. But it's a beautiful letter. But people had gotten saved, and guess what? They don't do those things anymore. We don't need your idol. We know the true and the living God. And in the world today, God expects his people to walk in that light and say, we don't do that anymore. God has delivered us. We know the truth. And this is where you get the jealousies within other religions and other peoples and other nations. They get to the point that they just can't let Christians be on their own anymore. They cannot stop themselves. They cannot, like Kim Jong-un. You know, there's a big basketball player that's a good friend of his that loves him to death. But even while that dude, I can't remember his name right now, but even while he was visiting with Kim Jong-un, Christians were being tortured beyond torture. Now, Tower was able to give you a look into that. That was one of the stuff that we covered on Wednesday's program this week. You see, even Trump has met with him once. He's going to meet with him again. And even as he talks to him, Christians, and even as we want to get better trade deals with him, Christians are being killed, tortured with such indignities you wouldn't do it to a dog, but they do it to Christians in North Korea. It's sickening. Because we have companies that do business with China above all else, that's moved there, that's moved their products there to make everything, and China is one of the biggest persecutors of Christians on the face of this earth, not to mention, they'll do the same to Muslims. They've been closing a bunch of churches. They're going back to the days of Mao. And we want to brush up to them, and we want to buy their products because their products are made by people that don't get paid much. And everything is communism. See, because of the battle in the world, the people, because they don't know the Lord, they think they do, but they don't. They want to create this kingdom, and they think China can be made right. No, they can't. But right now, there are a lot of Christians there. There's more Christians in China than almost any place on earth. And right now, they're breaking into small groups, exactly how they survived during the days of Mao. And by the time the persecution of Mao got done, Mao died, the church was opened up, and we found out that in China, not only do they have Christians, they have one of the greatest population of believers in Christ on this earth. And they're in China. China is working right now, out of fear, the communists are. Because there's more Christians than there are communists. And so they persecute them, close them down, because they've got the army and the power. But this is the way it is in the world. And so the Thessalonians, Paul is talking to them, you know, they're just a little group of people in a great big empire called Rome, at a place called Thessalonica, walking in a new faith that is really new, and God has touched them. And they've got enemies. So he wants to leave this first letter with encouragement. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. In other words, get to know one another. And esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. I mean, you can't, you know, if the devil can keep the church fighting amongst itself, if the devil can keep the church to where the church, the Christians themselves, do not love one another or esteem one another in love, then he's won. He doesn't care whether you're going to go out and tell people about Christ. If your church, if the Christian church in America is just like the America that we live in, if it's a spitting image, if its pastors do the same thing as everybody else, if the Christians do the same thing as everybody else, why should an unbeliever join your church? He can feel miserable without all your stuff. He can stay over and do his own stuff. Why would he come to you? People come to the Lord because they want deliverance. There is a power. There is a power in this God through Christ Jesus. This is not no man be Pam be God or Savior. This is miracles, signs, and wonders, the power to change and live above the lusts in the world. And it's changing people all the time. But if the devil can get you just like the world, you ain't going to have that power. You're going to be like the world. And that's one of the things that comes through in this letter to the Thessalonians. Don't be like the world. They're in darkness, you're in light. And you are together, so esteem each other, love each other in the Lord. Well, the Lord himself said that. By this shall they know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, and comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient towards all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, but both amongst yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now see, all these things, this is why I like the epistles, because especially with Paul, he always sums it up with practical things. Saying, rejoice evermore. That's good. Yeah, we want to rejoice. Don't render evil for evil. You know, and matter of fact, you can get, he probably got that out of the Psalms, you know. That's what it says. We don't render evil for evil. And are there people unruly? Warn them. Tell them. Stop it. Comfort the feeble-minded. Those, and there are feeble-minded people. And I don't mean that as a joke. There are truly people that don't have certain faculties. Support the weak. We should be supporting the weak. Be patient towards all men. Now that's hard, especially in today's society, but we have to do it. Follow that which is good. Don't render evil for evil. Pray without ceasing. This isn't like McDonald's. You drive up with a short prayer and walk off and leave with your order of, okay, God, I want one order, a blessing. I want two orders. I need an extra car, and I need, you know, you get the idea. So then you pay the dude or the dudette, and you walk away with the order. You see, God is not operating a drive-in service. Seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. I'm always talking about giving thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophecies. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Now see, in America, we have a move on the other side we did for a long time where nobody quenched the spirit. Many of them gave heed to familiar spirits. We have a thing today where people, they don't despise prophecies. They turn around and they prophesy all the time about everything. Matter of fact, we got Christians running around that get more messages from God, more dreams from God, more visions from God, more prophecies from God than all the prophets of the Old Testament. Which, you know, of course, it's not biblical, but this is what they do. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Does God talk through dreams? Sure he does. Does he allow us to prophesy? Now see, there's the spirit of prophecy. We have a number of things Paul talks about to the Corinthians. But there are people that write entire volumes full of stuff. And we have not been able to discern between familiar spirits, religious spirits, and the true and living God. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. Oh man, that would be interesting. How do you do that in America? Well, you serve the Lord and walk in the light. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's quite a prayer. Your whole spirit, soul, and body. That's you as yourself as you stand today alive. Preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. Now, he was in essence saying he could come at any time, and I pray that the way you are, the way you stand, you're going to be blameless when he shows up. Faithful is he which calleth you and also will do it. That's right. Faithful. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. That's interesting. See, you see that overseas a lot. In America, Americans are a different sort. You know, you don't go greeting everybody with a holy kiss. Now, you see, in the churches today, the way things are in many of the churches, they'd probably get you for molesting them or something. See, we don't even know this thing where you greet them with a kiss on the side of the cheek. You greet them. I mean, we are so far from a really understanding the true love of the brethren with each other, having compassion and understanding. I know that we will get there. I don't know if it'll happen in my lifetime, but the Lord is working on that because he will bring his people together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. That is, I find this epistle, I really like this epistle. I think it has a lot of stuff that we need to be paying attention to. And I don't know, I like to read these things and I like to look at them. When you really talk about it, when you really look at it, when you really just say, well, where are we today? Where are we really as believers? And I think that's what we need to do. We need to be circumspect. We need to understand this is where we're at. This is really what we need to do. And I think a lot of this will take care of itself, because I think the day and the hour we live in and the persecution will force us in that arena where God wants us. Trust me. The Lord knows how to get you where you need to be. You know, man, and even Christians, I mean, you can be stubborn. You can say that you're going to outlast God, but that ain't going to work. You know, the scripture says, those that love death hate the Lord. I mean, it's just like, if you have a ruler like Kim Jong-un, what do? You go up and you kiss him on the foot to make sure he isn't going to get mad at you. That's how they act in that kingdom. Everybody's so afraid of him and afraid of those over him that they wouldn't dare, you know, do anything to make him mad. But some of them get killed anyway. Now see, how much more so with the Lord himself? You got to be careful. Know in whom you believe. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Bless your people, Lord, and move in their hearts and draw them to yourself. In Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. Amen. We thank you, Father. Okay, Tower.
Okay, amen. You know, as you were talking about this, I'm see verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I think that's hard in America for people to do that, because the church is taught that God is blessing, blessing, blessing. And when things are going wrong in your life, there's something you're doing wrong. And
yeah,
you know, and thank you, Lord God, for this pain in my leg that I can relate to others who are suffering and be more compassionate. Or thank God that I lost my job, even though I don't know how I'm going to put food on the table, or, you know, things like that. Well, maybe that isn't the job God wanted you at, and he's got something better for you.
Well, I was thinking of some of those that are persecuted.
Oh, I know.
Well, see, in those circumstances, in a lot of these things, you know, what we're doing is being thankful to the Lord for who he is.
That's right.
You know, you're not just being some knucklehead that goes out smiling like you need to be, you know, locked up, you know, with a smile on your face and you never look any other way and you got this crazed look in your eye. What's the matter with you? Well, I'm supposed to rejoice every morning and be happy, so here I am, 24 hours a day, I'm smiling, even though when I don't want to, I'm smiling, see me? No, that isn't what God, that's not what the Lord, has to flow out of your heart and soul. You know, when you go out of a night, you know, thank the Lord for the stars. When you go out in the morning, thank the Lord. Be thankful. You know, and when you are sick or when you are afflicted, when you do have, thank God that he has the power to deliver you and make a way.
That's right. Amen.
That's what we do. We're not going to, when you get in the tribulation, you're not going to say, oh God, you know, this tribulation, I want to stay here forever because I love it.
I don't think so.
No, even Paul said, you know, about tribulation, that, you know, it does us good in the latter end when God corrects you. Now, that's one end of it, but there's tribulation, and it wears people out, and you have to draw close to the Lord and thank him, you know, for being alive, thank him for surviving and a lot of other things. But, you know, you have to take up the mantle of faith in those times. I mean, this is about faith. This is about keeping on that path. So, well, with that, we're going to have to get out of here.
Well, good night, everybody. Thank you for all you do for the King. of Kings and Lord of Lords. We love you and we pray for you. May God richly bless you and enjoy your Sabbath rest.
Good night,
everybody.
Good night, everybody. Shalom. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.
Mommy, I'm bored. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America?
Dad, I'm tired of the swing. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America?
There's no room to build a sandcastle. Can we go to
the Bronx Zoo for the biggest, most realistic dinosaur safari ride in America? Make your day prehistoric at the Bronx Zoo Dinosaur Safari.
Friday night, Sunday brunch, it does not matter. Facts are facts, queen. Every cigarette can cut your life short. Find that hard to believe? Then tap the banner for more. This free life, freedom to be tobacco free.